Chapter 1, Disney responds to Scarlett Johansson's lawsuit, claiming she lost $50 million from poor box office performance.
What's going on, everyone? Jeremy here from The Quartering. Huge shout out to everyone who came by my stream yesterday. I'll be streaming again today starting at 1 o'clock Central Time over on twitch.tv/TheQuartering, playing some Final Fantasy and hanging out with all of you. Hope to see you there. Now, Disney has decided to strike back in an absolutely savage response to Scarlett Johansson's lawsuit over Black Widow and the simultaneous giggity release of it on Disney Plus. Now, make no mistake about it. The real reason this lawsuit is happening is because Black Widow tanked. That's why. Black Widow tanked at the box office. That is an indictment. I know many of you liked the movie, and that's okay. But if Black Widow had made what it was projected to make at the cinema, Scarlett Johansson would have made like another $20 or $30 million. Because it didn't, now she's looking for a loophole to sue Disney to get more of that money. Hey, by the way, I see a lot of people asking me about these. I got a promo code. If you use the link in the description, these are Mova Globes. They're not cheap, but they're awesome. And I have a promo code where you can save 10% off. Support the channel. Get yourself an awesome Mova Globe. Link in the pinned comment down below. Now, the suit itself is built on, of course, the simultaneous release. But Disney's response was absolutely savage. This is via Bounding Into Comics. Following her destruction of the Red Room, Scarlett Johansson has set her sights on a new all-powerful entity with a worrying amount of power. The actress has filed a suit against Disney on the grounds that the media conglomerate violated the terms of her contract when they released Black Widow on Disney Plus at the same time the film landed in theaters. As first reported by the Wall Street Journal, Johansson's lawsuit argues that Disney's decision to employ the simultaneous release strategy for Black Widow intentionally landed Marvel's breach of agreement, without justification in order to prevent Ms. Johansson from realizing the full benefit of her bargain with Marvel, as the actress' salary for appearing in the film was based heavily on box office returns. Now, cost her $50 million in losses. But again, so Disney made $60 million by releasing it on Disney Plus. But, I mean, this movie wasn't going to make $1 billion. It just never was. I think the era of billion-dollar movies, not just for Avengers films or Marvel movies, but it might just be over entirely with the convenience of streaming, with the impending doom many still have about getting into a packed cinema with people coughing on them next to them. I don't blame people for that. But I think this is indicative of the bigger issue here. Now that we know the movies will eventually come to streaming, and it might only be a month or two or three, people are just willing to wait. People are willing to wait for mediocrity. There's very few like tentpole movies that people are just going to want to see in the theater. Even Disney managed to destroy that kind of feeling from Star Wars movies. Star Wars movies used to be this thing that's like, oh no, I'm seeing that in the theater. Nope. Now, for me, I'm more like, oh, it's some indie film like Pig, starring Nicolas Cage, with people keep giving me crap that I like that movie. I think it was nearly perfect. I want to go see that in the theater to support it. I don't really care about another big blockbuster cape movie, and Disney doesn't need my support. And heck, they've said they don't want it. They want China's money. Well, of course, we've seen that backfire in a video I covered yesterday about how China has completely ignored Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and The Eternals. Not one of the films getting a release in China as of right now may never be released there, which would mean billions lost for Disney. The suit further notes that Johansson was concerned that Black Widow would end up on the Disney Plus even before the onset of the coup, to the extent that she sought assurance from Marvel that her contract would be honored. In response, Marvel Chief Counsel Dave Galuzzi assured Johansson that the film would exclusively release in theaters in an email. So she has evidence that they lied. I think she's going to win this lawsuit. However, the suit further claims that her attempts to renegotiate her contract in light of Black Widow's dual release were ignored by both Marvel and Disney. The lawsuit further claims that Johnson attempted to renegotiate her contract after learning of Black Widow's dual release, but notes that both Disney and Marvel were unresponsive. And look, let's just take the name Disney and the name Scarlett Johansson out of this. They changed the game. They really should have renegotiated this contract. Now, I'm not going to lose any sleep over Scarlett Johansson only making $25 million instead of $70 million, but I'm just being honest here. The terms of the agreement had changed, have changed, and really, Disney should have renegotiated. As for Disney, just hours after Johnson's lawsuit was made public, the company issued a statement in their defense wherein they declared there is no merit whatsoever to this following. The suit is especially sad and distressing in its callous disregard for the horrific and prolonged efforts of the COOF. They're literally standing on the dead bodies of the COOF to posture publicly against Scarlett Johansson. Just that's your Disney, you know, consumers and you know, multi-haired, you know, SJWs of the world that continue to talk about, you know, that continue to shill for Disney. That's their take. Look at all these dead bodies over here. We don't want to pay an actress more money. The bodies, though. This fine Newsweek, Disney's brutal response to Scarlett Johansson suggests an ugly legal fight. Disney's response to Scarlett Johansson's suit has fans predicting an ugly legal fight between the actress and the House of Mouse. The latest blockbuster has not been performing well after a successful first weekend at the box office, and Johansson is taking Disney to court over it. In a lawsuit filed Thursday in Los Angeles Superior Court, Johansson's legal team alleges that the star's contract was breached when the studio streamed the movie. Here's the thing. I don't think this movie does amazing in the box office even without it. There are things that are unrelated to whether or not the movie's good that will be dragging down box office numbers in America and around the world. Despite setting a box office record for releases during the COOF, grossing $218 million in its first weekend plus $60 million on Disney+, ticket sales then subsequently sharply declined. The film only grossing $319 million globally, putting it on the path to end up being one of the lowest grossing Marvel movies ever. What they're not saying here is they're actually losing money. Johansson's attorney, John Berlinski, I don't care who he works for, it's no secret that Disney is releasing films like Black Widow directly to Disney Plus to increase subscribers and thereby boost the company's stock price. That's what it's hiding behind the COOF as a pretext to do so. But ignoring the contracts of the artists responsible for the success of the films for furtherance of this short-sighted strategy violates the rights, and we look forward to proving as much in court. Disney responded with a brutal statement, labeling Johansson's lawsuit as distressing, suggesting the studio had no intention of backing down. Quote, "There's no merit whatsoever to the filing," Disney said in an uncharacteristically blunt statement. "The lawsuit is especially sad and distressing in callous disregard for the horrific and prolonged effects of the COOF." Disney spokesperson continued, "Disney was fully compiled with Mr. Johansson's contract, and furthermore, the release of Black Widow on Disney Plus with Premier Access has significantly enhanced her ability to earn additional compensation on top of the $20 million she's already received today." Zing! The response from Disney has shocked many people, with some criticizing the studio on social media. "If Disney can do this to Scarlett Johansson, a big name, imagine what they're able to do to creators and actors with a lot less money and power," tweeted film producer Mallory Yu. "There are implications to this breach of contract beyond ScarJo herself, or even the convenience and safety in home streaming." She added, "As has been pointed out, media corporations like Disney have a long history of contracts that prioritize corporate profits over creator equity. Demand for streaming options isn't going away. So what effects will this have on future and current contract negotiations?" While another Twitter account, one that focuses on legal content, quote, "When someone says you breached a contract and you start talking about global lockdowns, you 100% breached that contract." Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about it. We can go back to 2019. Bill Nye has a $28 million lawsuit against Disney, which is going to trial. There's numerous contracts that are being litigated with Disney. This on top of them looking the other way about the situations in China, as they were happy to film there. This is on top of China essentially shunning Marvel films and perhaps Disney films in general. This is not good for Disney. I mean, it's nice for me. You can see the comments. Disney, per their usual business practices, they care more about shareholders than the people who built them to where they are. Disney breached its contract with Alan Dean Foster, the author of some small novels like Star Wars and Alien. I remember that. And stopped paying him royalties for his books. Disney flat out refused to even return his lawyer's phone calls. Finally, after years of fighting, Disney has started paying him his royalties again. Disney is not the friendly company they want you to think they are. I would argue that, you know, the stock market doesn't seem to care. Oh, never mind. Yikes. It's been having a bad day. Have a bad day. But up 1 point in the last 5 days, but not looking good here. The Black Widow lawsuit CAA slams Disney for releasing Scarlett Johansson's salary. $20 million, that's tactical. That's so you don't feel bad for her. And I got to admit, it kind of worked.
Chapter 2. Kevin Smith blasts fans once again as the He-Man Masters of the Universe meltdown continues.
Kevin Smith just keeps attacking his critics, fans of the original He-Man. He just won't shut up about it. And there's nonstop articles. Today we're going to look at one in IndieWire, and then there's one on Cinema Blend, and talking about just this very thing. He just keeps going after it. Plus, it looks like Netflix reveals Masters of the Universe creative team designed Teela with a, quote, more realistic and muscular perspective inspired by Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman and The Legend of Korra. Netflix has revealed that Teela was given her generic strong female design in Master of the Universe Revelation in order to portray her with a more realistic muscular perspective than any of her previous incarnations. As a streaming giant, felt it was important that realism included in the character design. Not for He-Man, though. On the July 28th, Netflix geeked a Twitter account whose content focuses on the platform's various nerd media, revealed to its followers that Master of the Universe Revelation creative team was inspired by Wonder Woman and The Legend of Korra, designing the woman in Master of the Universe Revelations with a more realistic muscular perspective than past iterations. You see some of the replies. It says, In response, Netflix geek tweeted another user sarcastically, "Thank God. In a show that allows characters to get a nice tan and become a total beefcake from holding up a piece of metal and saying a quick one-liner, I have the power. It's really important that realism is included in the character design," they added sarcastically. However, the brand account soon fired back, declaring, "When women are often drawn unrealistically in so many forms of media, yeah, it's really important that realism is included in the character design." Of course, Netflix geeked accounts attempt to portray their less than well-received Teela design as some sort of moral good was soon met with a wave of criticism. Realistic? Teela injected the world's supply of steroids in this show. There's no resemblance to Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman. There is nothing unrealistic about her original design. You can see, in fact, the OG version is more normal and realistic and achievable body shape than this new one. I suspect, quote, realistic is woke for less likely to be found hot by men. Gadot and Korra don't even have bodies like this one in Teela's show. Can they stop lying? I like Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman, but she's hardly muscular. It's my main criticism of her role. Well, and some of the poor line delivery at times. You can see here, so glad to see the men of Master of the Universe have been designed with more realistic, muscular perspective than the rest of their iterations as well. The unfair standard of masculinity in this cartoon was very harmful to the self-esteem of young boys. And of course, Kevin Smith continues his nonstop assault on the fandom. Kevin Smith tells off toxic He-Man fans, think Netflix series is too woke? Deal with it. Kevin Smith's animated Netflix series, Masters of the Universe, Revelation is garbage. Oh, excuse me. That's not what it said. So a lot of the toxic backlash stems from Smith's decision to seemingly end the main character, He-Man, and Skeletor in the pilot episode. The twist allows supporting characters like the female warrior, Teela, to assume lead roles as they search for magic that can bring He-Man back. No, again, you're ignoring the truth. The backlash was because he lied. He didn't have to lie. Kevin Smith didn't have to lie to the fans and say that, you know, that it's absurd. It's totally absurd that people would think Teela is going to be the main person in the show. It's crazy. You would have to be an idiot. This was his response. He didn't have to say that. He goes on to say, quote, I know there are some people like, hey man, this show's woke. Smith told Variety about the backlash. I'm like, all right, great. Then so was the original cartoon. We're effing sequelizing. Go watch it again. There are girls in every episode. Deal with it. Again, gaslighting. Kevin Smith thinks he's so much smarter than you. This has been evident in every film he's ever made and in his reactions to criticism. This is a guy that made like an entire movie about criticizing a Batman film. You know, it's ridiculous to me. Nobody is complaining that women are in the show. Show me anyone complaining that. This is gaslighting. It's been interesting to see who truly is a hardcore fan. Oh, now we're gatekeeping. Okay. Because no, anybody that's like, oh man, that's not enough He-Man or someone like that doesn't understand that the show we base it on. There were episodes where he lost the sword and he never became He-Man. It wasn't like He-Man was always saving the day. His friends helped him. That was the effing point of the show. Yeah. But he was at least in the freaking episodes. You got the guy as an afterthought in 85% of your 6 episodes. And when he's there, he's either acting like a buffoon or getting killed. Smith told Variety he took up on Masters of the Universe in part because he wanted to be true to the franchise. You know, franchise he said he's got no love for. And not just reinvent it for modern age. The showrunner said of his approach to the series, all we have to do is not disavow anything. Nobody's saying, hey man, everything you knew about He-Man was wrong. It's like, no, everything you knew was absolutely right. And now this is what happened. And when they finally had an epic battle and what happened after that, He-Man still appears in Revelation via flashbacks and later rejoins the show in a more present capacity. For He-Man voice actor Chris Wood, the decision to shake up the character roster in the series was refreshing and brought instant real-world stakes to the animated series. It was jarring, but in a really amazing way. It's funny to hear these people talk about their... It's like, you know, they leave something in the toilet and they turn around and they look at it and they think the same thing. Wow, what an amazing dump I took. It's really jarring. It's really interesting and a revel. Oh, what? The smell is just... Oh, it's so refreshing. You don't smells like this in normal Hollywood. I'm not even going to flush it. I'm just going to keep it there so you can come back later and appreciate it. Here's another article, Cinema Blend. Kevin Smith unloads F-bombs on He-Man fans angry with Netflix Master of the Universe series. Again, he goes, I'm like, all right, man, let's go with the effing sequel. Go watch it again. There are girls in every episode. Deal with it. It's been interesting seeing who truly is a hardcore fan, because anyone that's like, oh man, there's not enough He-Man or something like that doesn't enter the show. Yeah, I go see people online. Hey man, they're getting rid of He-Man. Like, you really effing think Mattel Television, who hired me and paid me money, wants to do an effing Master of the Universe show without He-Man? Grow the F up, man. Like, that blew my mind. A bunch of people being like, oh, I smell it. This is a bait and switch. But they did bait and switch. Kevin Smith did bait and switch. Why is he trying to act like he hasn't done that? I actually wonder. Let's see. I'm sure Netflix is protecting it by now. 36%. And this is something I've always talked about in terms of these, you know, he this is dismissive review brigade. Okay, based on how many reviews, you know, like I forgot how to get it to come up. But it was like, here, 3,500. That's it. This isn't a review brigade. Look, when people took to arms to leave reviews for The Last of Us 2, it was like 50,000 or 100,000. This is 3,000. If Masters of the Universe is such a huge hit, where are all the positive reviews? I mean, where are all the reviews in general? 3,000. This is like Batwoman Season 1 numbers. I don't understand why Kevin Smith continues to antagonize the fandom. You just can't lose money betting against Hollywood. These people wouldn't know which way was up if it were outside and it was raining. Jesus, they're just digging the hole deeper. It didn't take long for them to pull the misogyny card, and they left themselves wide open for even more criticism. If it makes sense for Tila to look like a bodybuilder, then why does Eva Lynn have the same body, and why doesn't Andrea? I mean, this is like part and parcel for people that never cared about the show, just see it as something to milk for profit. And quite frankly, I got to be honest with you. It just feels like, to me as a fan, that a lot of the people that work on these shows take a lot of joy in ruining things men loved. I just got to be specific. That isn't to say there weren't female fans, but I don't think that they're motivated to destroy things that females loved. I genuinely believe that these people are motivated self-righteously to destroy and tear down beautiful women, to tear down things that men loved, because they are ugly on the inside and probably the out. The only one that really matters, though, is that they're ugly on the inside, and they see themselves as that. Every time they look in the mirror, they might be beautiful people. You know, there's a lot of people in this kind of SJW comics world and Netflix world that are good-looking people. But when they look in the mirror, they're rotten to the core, and they see this ugly, like, boil-filled pile of pus, and they want to take that out on the world. They want everyone else to feel as bad as they do. They want their own self-hatred to be projected on others. And this is why we get shows like Masters of the Universe. Kevin Smith, I think he's just like a sad bootlicker. I don't think he's like one of these people that actively seeks out. I think Kevin Smith will go whatever the way the wind blows to get paid. That's all Kevin Smith really cares about, is getting that next job. I don't think he cares about Master of the Universe. I don't think he cares about SJW BS. I think that he is a slime ball with no spine, that all he cares about is being in the in crowd, and he will never be on the in crowd.
Chapter 3. More bad news for Disney. Emma Stone is now suing over contract concerns with her film Cruella.
Disney, some more terrible, terrible news for Disney. I can't describe how sad I am for Disney. I mean, this is a company that has done nothing but good. A company that has followed Western values, fought for the little guy, never profited in the face of oppression, has always told the truth. And now some jerks, like Scarlett Johansson and now Emma Stone, are suing them? Well, I could tell you something. Next time I watch an Emma Stone movie or a Scarlett Johansson movie, I'm going to make sure that I use a VPN and I watch it from Taiwan, because it'll mess up their analytics, but it'll also open up a wide variety of other content that I didn't know was available. If you're not using a VPN in 2021, I highly recommend using private internet access. It's the one I use. It's they have an incredible offer for my viewers specifically. So if you right click on the link in the pinned comment below or in the description, get yourself protected. Now, Disney stock is currently in free fall, down a full percent for the day, erasing millions in market cap. I'm sorry, billions in market cap as it continues to fall, as the second major lawsuit is now on the horizon. Now, if you follow the news, you saw that Scarlett Johansson essentially got hosed out of performance opportunities. What I mean to say is, if the movie made $400 million in the box office, she would have got a $5 million bonus. $500, $10 million, $600, $15 million. What I'm told is she lost upwards of close to $50 million. She's trying to say it's because it was released on Disney Plus, not because the world's gotten over Cape films, but that's neither here nor there. Now, Emma Stone is also considering suing Disney over the Cruella release. Now, I'm a big Emma Stone fan. I think Emma Stone is a beautiful woman. I wouldn't say that many of her movies were my style. I think Easy A, which is like a billion years ago. Was she also in the... I think she was also in The Rocker as a bass player. I always appreciated that. Teddy Geiger, I think, was the lead singer of that band. And then the guy that plays Dwight Schrute. I can't think of his real name right now off the top of my head. He's the star of it, but Emma Stone really is the star of that. Emma Stone is reportedly considering suing Disney over Cruella's hybrid release after Black Widow's Scarlett Johansson filed her own lawsuit. Emma Stone is reportedly considering suing Disney. The villainous origin story premiered simultaneously in theaters and on Disney Plus on May 28th, utilizing the $29.99 Premiere Access feature that previous lockdown pictures, Mulan and Raya and the Last Dragon, launched. While the Stone-led flick was considered a success amongst audiences and critics, the box office numbers weren't terribly impressive. Many speculated that Cruella's hybrid release cut into its overall numbers. Well, here's the thing that's weird to me. What do we think that the hybrid release is really telling us? Does it mean everybody's pirating it? Now, I wouldn't ever pirate a movie, but if you are a member, use a VPN, particularly private internet access. If you were to download anything, I'm saying, just use a VPN, not pirate. That's not what it's for. But the idea that these films are doing really poor, does that mean that people are just not interested in Disney films anymore? Does it mean that everyone's like fine just waiting for them to be free? I actually think that's what it is. I think that, if you're like me, I don't really care about going to the theater as much anymore. And I know if I know a film will eventually be on streaming, I'm totally fine waiting for it. I think the only film I paid to digitally watch was Sonic, and that was just to support the movie. I think that was $20, not $30. Disney's latest blockbuster to hold a dual debut was highly anticipated Black Widow, though the Marvel flick saw solid opening weekend numbers. For lockdown times, Natasha Romanoff saw a big loss. Scarlett Johansson filed a lawsuit against Disney, saying that Black Widow's Disney Plus release was a breach of contract, and now that's led Emma Stone to consider it. The former THR editor, Matt Belloni, who took to exclusive newsletter What I'm Hearing to report that the Cruella star is currently considering a lawsuit of her own. Emma Stone, star of Cruella, said to be weighing her options, he wrote. Now, I wonder, what does that mean? If you sue a former employer, what's the trade-off? I think you could probably be reasonably certain that you will never work for them again. So this is probably something to consider, especially Emma Stone, who, is younger and has a long career ahead of herself. This means you'll never be in a Star Wars movie. You'll never voice act for Disney Pixar. You'll never be in another Disney movie or, a Fox movie or, the X-Men movies. all these things probably mean, you probably mean that you're not getting hired in those movies. Bologna also posed Emily Blunt's name as a talent that could speak out after Jungle Cruise opens this weekend. He called Disney notoriously difficult to deal with in these circumstances, adding that fellow creatives have been waiting in the wings for someone in the spotlight to speak out. Bologna indicated that Johansson has had overwhelming support of her fellow artists and speculated that the issue won't be quieted. Disney's lawyers were quick to respond to the Oscar-nominated talent's action with a contentious statement. The studio claims that they were completely adhered to all stipulations in her contract, a possible attempt to undermine the actress's claims. The statement her salary wasn't hindered by Disney Plus release, but instead increased. That, of course, seems really unlikely. I didn't finish that thought. So either people are fine just waiting for it, or people are pirating. Now, I'm a little too old to be in that game so much these days, but you know, in the days of file sharing websites and things like that, there's a million websites where you can stream these movies. And when you have a digital release, it just makes it a lot more available, and especially in a lot higher quality. I remember somebody told me one day that when movies came out, they would look for, you know, downloads, but they'd always be screeners. It took a while for the DVD rip to come out. Well, now you're getting high quality DVD rips on release day, and so maybe people are doing that. But I've always maintained, and I think data supports this too, that, you know, pirating, like in video games, doesn't really cost you a lot of money, because most people who pirate video games weren't going to be a paying customer for that game anyway. And it just doesn't have that significant of an impact. The game companies like to convince themselves of this, which is why they spend, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on intrusive DRM. But, you know, I don't think that there's a movie, especially with movies, there's not a lot of movies, I think, that people are like, oh, I'm going to pay $15 for it. And then instead just download it. Yeah, it happens. But I think the widespread availability of these type of movies, digital downloads of these movies, maybe it just, you know, more people consume it because it's there. But I don't believe that a lot of people who are like, I want to pay to see, I'm going to go see Cruella in the theater. And then they're just like, oh, I'm going to download it. It's probably bigger in the film industry. This is something Disney has dealt with forever. I remember they like sued some kid who downloaded a bunch of Disney movies like back in the day. But this is not a good look for Disney, as you know, another major actress comes out and looks to be suing them. I, of course, am taking no joy in reporting down 2 points today. Actually, I am taking a lot of joy in it. Ha ha. Suck it, Disney.
Chapter 4, Bombshell Leak Exposes Blizzard Employees' Hidden Camera Found in Bathrooms.
Ooh-wee. Things just keep getting worse for Activision Blizzard and I suppose King Games, although they're largely kind of not implicated in any of this. A brand new report via Vice, after piling through all the court documents, has indicated that an Activision IT worker secretly filmed colleagues, well, when they were in that room. An Activision IT worker did plead guilty to mounting a camera under the sink in a manner to point at the toilet, 2018 documents reveal. Now, I want to be very clear. When you have 5,000 people that work for you, you have a cross-section of society. Meaning, you get 5,000 people, you're probably going to have 50 weirdos. You're probably going to have at least one with a body buried somewhere. I'm not kidding. Like, when you have that many people working for a company, you're going to have some weirdos. But literally every bad thing possible keeps coming out about Blizzard. And while today the stock has rebounded a tiny bit, for the week, not so good. In fact, quite bad for the week. I don't know why it's not changing. There we go. Billions lost this week. Actually spoke with a lawyer this morning, and the CEO or C-level employees, board of directors, are likely to be sued as well. A Blizzard IT worker installed cameras, plural, in the company's Minnesota office bathroom with the intent to spy on employees while they used it, according to new documents. The employee, Tony Ray Nixon, pled, of course, guilty to interference with privacy, a gross misdemeanor, and was given a suspended sentence. He later violated that, requiring him to take a treatment, some sort of treatment as directed. Now, I don't know if that means he mounted more cameras somewhere else or what the deal was. He worked for Activision Blizzard in Eden Prairie, in Minnesota, where the company maintains a building that focuses on QA. According to the documents, PD learned that Activision Blizzard had a problem when a male employee showed up in the lobby of the PD on August 23rd. The employee, who is anonymous in the documents, stated that he received an email from HR that an unauthorized monitoring device had been installed in a joint bathroom and that Activision was doing an internal investigation. It's unclear from the documents whether this employee was formally acting on behalf of Activision, the company, or if they were independently reporting this crime at work. However, Activision said in a statement to Waypoint that it notified authorities. When reached by phone, a public information officer for the Eden Prairie PD told Waypoint that the detective who worked the case has retired. Shocking. And a police officer in Minnesota not working there anymore? A detective went to Activision Blizzard offices the next day. Management informed him that an employee had found two cameras in the water room that were installed under the sinks, documents showed. Management then removed them and sent them to their office in Santa Monica, CA, for, quote, analysis. What was on that, you know, I assume they were like GoPros or something like that. The problem is, now anybody who's viewed that content, I'm not sure what the legalities of all of that is. The Eden Prairie detective inspected the bathrooms and realized the cameras had been mounted in a manner that pointed them towards the toilet. During their investigation, discovered that Nixon had shopped for micro SD cards, waterproof camcorders, and battery packs that worked with the cameras found in the bathrooms. When the detective confronted Nixon, he admitted that he had been capturing footage in the bathroom for weeks. The defendant also admitted that they had captured employees of footage within the bathroom, but he had deleted the videos. I'm sure he did delete them. Yeah, I'm sure. Once the incident was reported to us, the company began an investigation and promptly removed all unauthorized cameras and notified the authorities, Activision Blizzard told Waypoint in an email. They then conducted a thorough search with full cooperation of the company. As soon as they and the company identified the perpetrator, he was terminated for bad behavior. The company provided crisis counselors to employees on site and virtually and increased security. I mean, I don't know how this manages to keep getting worse, but it does. Now, to be fair, anything that has ever happened, right, bad at this company is now getting re-brought up. And you can see old Cuphead guy, Dean Takahashi. And you can see the old Cuphead guy, Dean Takahashi, now writing for VentureBeat, saying Activision Blizzard is losing the PR battle. Well, of course. I don't really know anybody who's siding with Blizzard. I mean, it's gotten so bad that even Jason Schreier has gotten canceled for sitting on this particular information for so long, of course. And I don't know that anybody really ever liked Bobby Kotick before any of this. You know, I mean, and the fact that they took the time to issue this totally tone-deaf article, I don't know. Or response to their own employees. What do you do, you know, if you work there, right? And you have, I don't know, $100,000 a year. You moved your family there. You, you know, your whole life, you picked up and moved there. How do you quit that job? Now you're getting this Activision shareholder alert. This is this afternoon or late afternoon. Securities litigation partner James Josh Wilson encourages investors who suffered losses exceeding $50,000 in Activision to contact him directly to discuss their options. A New York filing from a different lawyer is a leading minority and woman-owned national securities law firm. Essentially, the law firms that I talked to, you know, they represent big shareholders, big stock owners. And what the law firms are really interested in right now is who all knew. Did, you know, C-level employees know and ignore it? Because what they're looking for is some sort of remuneration or payback for big-time investors that have lost money, significant money, due to just bad behavior of certain people. Essentially, the suits that are out there, it looks like essentially they're saying, look, we invested in your company, you know, to because of the products you make and the things that you do. We took that risk. If you're, you know, the latest World of Warcraft expansion doesn't work out, that's not something we can sue you for. However, what looks like is brewing now is they're looking at the board of directors, people like Mark Morhaime, chief executive officers of Blizzard and Activision, and they're saying, hey, you knew about this and you did nothing. And now that you're getting sued over it, and we, the investors, have lost tens of millions of dollars, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars, we're going to sue you. And that looks like the next lawsuit that's going to come up. And I would argue that there's probably some merit because obviously I'm not a lawyer, but I've talked to numerous Blizzard employees. Many of them believe wholeheartedly that people like Mike Morhaime knew, other C-level executives knew, HR knew, and they did nothing. The question is going to be, you know, did the board of directors know? Because if they knew, that's even worse. It's going to be interesting to see this all unfold. Hopefully, we'll get some new stories breaking next week. If you enjoyed the coverage, remember to hit that red subscribe button down below the video. I'd greatly appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed this video. We'll talk to you again real soon.